We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Like I said, today we launch our fourth stage of the Stewards of God's Resources program that we're going through. I do worry a little bit that this program that we're going through, we've looked at gospel and we've looked at worship and we've looked at people and we're now looking at creation, that this is just going to roll past and it's not going to make any impact on people as it goes. So I'd like to encourage you as a church to take seriously the decision that we made in church meeting to do this. And in your own devotions and in your own walk with God, can you please, over this month, think about this theme? And over the coming months, think about the themes that are being brought to you. Creation. I want to suggest to you this morning that thinking about the creation as stewards of God's resources is a lot more than just being nice to the environment. Any person who has a sense of survival of the human race, or a sense of beauty, or a sense of responsibility, can be nice to the environment. That doesn't mean that as Christians we don't have to be. But I want to say to you that there is more going on than simply that in this idea of stewards of God's resources, creation. And next week, I want to look at the relationship between creator, creation, and creature. And I want to look at that in a more analytical way next week. But this morning, I want to look at something quite different about how it's different to just being an environmentally conscious, responsible adult. So what on earth has the feeding of 5,000 got to do with our being responsible stewards of God's creation? You ever wondered what Jesus was thinking when he told those disciples to feed the crowds? It's always that little battle going on, isn't there? Because we say he was fully God yet fully man. And some people who have a very high view of Jesus' divinity will think, well, he knew exactly what he was doing from beginning to end. So it was never a problem for him. I was accosted once in a pub about five decades ago by somebody who says, oh, you know, if Jesus knew what was going to happen, that he was going to get resurrected from the beginning, what's the problem with a cross? I didn't quite answer that one. But we have that sort of a thing going on. Some people would think that Jesus knew exactly what was going on from beginning to end. Other people who take a stronger perspective of Jesus' humanity might think, well, when he got to this point, he was like any one of us, leaping into something in faith and not quite knowing where it was going to go, but knowing that he was called by God to go this way and trusting that his heavenly Father would lead him on the journey. I don't know. But one of the things that is very clearly told to us in there is that there's a lot of compassion at work. Jesus must have been utterly heartbroken at what had happened to John. John was his cousin. His mum went and talked to John's mum when she found out she was pregnant. They'd probably grown up communicating with each other all their lives. Jesus got baptized by John. He always said, there's no one greater than John in all of history. These two people loved each other. Some of John's disciples became Jesus' disciples. And the moment John was killed, it was his disciples who went and told Jesus what was going on. Jesus is heartbroken. He's devastated. He wants to get off by himself to work it through. And there's a great crowd following. And he's turned from his grief by his compassion on the crowds. So there's a massive thing going on here that tells us something about God. Compassion. You ever wondered what the disciples thought when Jesus told them to feed the disciples, to feed that crowd of 5,000 men plus women and children? And they said, well, we've got, you know, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, right, I sit them down and give them to me and gave thanks to God. Do you ever wonder what the disciples thought at that point? What would you be thinking? You'd be thinking, oh no, this is going to end up badly. We're going to be in a terrible mess. You ever been in that situation where you've looked at a job ahead of you, where you've looked at something like the environment, or you've looked at something like the politics around you, and you've just thought, this is utterly overwhelming, and I don't know what on earth I'm going to do with it? Well, maybe it's been a situation that you faced in your private life, and you thought, I am utterly overwhelmed by this, and I have not the resources. Well, if you can think to a moment like that, then you can think to a time when you were right where the disciples were. No end in sight. And it's interesting that the disciples came to Jesus. See, they've been around Jesus for a long time, and Jesus has rubbed off on them. So it's interesting that the disciples are coming to Jesus actually with concern for the crowd. There's women and kids amongst these. They're going to be faint with hunger. They've been here all day. It's time to send them away to go and get some food. The disciples' hearts are in the right place. And when you walk alongside of Jesus closely, it does rub off, and compassion does start to become a terribly important part of your life. Because that's what the presence of Jesus does to people. And you'll know about that because you've been touched by that compassion too. Somewhere in your life, some point, might be where you've made a terrible blunder. Or it might be a place where life has made a terrible blunder and imploded it upon you. And in the middle of it, you've been touched by the compassion of Christ. So you know what it's like. And you know how it spills over. You think, wow, that's happened to me. Jesus turns around to the disciples, as you know, and he says to them, no, don't send them away, you feed them. And you can hear the disciples, I can't do it. I haven't got the energy. I haven't got the resources. I haven't got the means, and I'm not sure I've actually got the will. Wouldn't it be easier to just say, send them off? It'll be somebody else's problem. And besides, if I try and do this, I'm going to fail and I'm going to look a fool and everybody's going to be disappointed. So in good stewardship, I'm not going to try and do it because it would all end up badly. But what happens here is that they are saying these things and their hearts are in the right place. They do have compassion for the crowd. They're saying it in the presence of Jesus. And once the compassion of Jesus starts to flow, something remarkable starts to happen. And it happens in our lives, and it happens in the lives of other people who touch the compassion of Jesus. And what Jesus did with what the disciples gave to him was mysterious. And it was powerful. And it had an effect and an outcome far beyond anything they could ever imagine. and us reading the story today as part of that far beyond. What Jesus does with what we give him is mysterious and powerful. And here is the critical matter of the difference between someone who comes to the environment, to creation, and says, yes, I'm going to be a responsible person with what God, well, with what I have, I'm going to look after it, I'm going to be environmentally mature. But the Christian sees it in a different way. Imagine Jesus standing there with this pitifully small offering in his hands, raising it up to God, blessing it, and giving God thanks for it, and letting it out to this impossible task. He breaks it. He gives it away to others. And when what we have is broken to the will of Christ and given away, we do not know what it is going to do. That's how it is when we're close to God. The disciples came, what they offered was woefully inadequate. In their first attitude, what they offered was woefully inadequate. What they offered materially was woefully inadequate. But they gave it to Jesus, and he broke it, and he blessed it. And what happened with that was beyond their imagination. We're moved by Christ's presence in our lives. We blunder in. Sometimes, often on the wrong track, offering uncomprehendingly to God what we have, thinking that it's to go this way, but offer it to the one who breaks it and turns it to his purposes. And it is in this giving, this offering, this surrender that Jesus takes and uses our woefully inadequate offering. And then it is both ours, but it's not ours anymore, it's his. And something far greater and different and more powerful and mysterious has occurred in the giving that cannot happen just out of what I can do with my hands. Stewardship for the Christian person of creation is not a matter of hard-nosed, sacrificial redistribution of our resources in more ethical directions because faith says you have to look after the earth. Not this faith, I mean our Christian faith. Stewardship is the open-mouthed, wide-eyed wonder by which we offer all we have to God from hearts moved by compassion that is engendered because we walk alongside of Jesus in nearness to his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness and compassion, knowing that he, by the power at work within us, is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think. Whatever our context, whatever our resources, whatever our understanding, because it isn't about us. It is about Jesus. And it is about our faith in him. I'm going to ask Sam to come and sing for us. And then after that, we'll have a bit of quiet if we could, just to reflect. And then we're going to sing, God in his love for us lent us this planet, gave it purpose in time and in space. But the purpose of the planet is not just to sustain you and me so we can eat nice meals and breathe clean air. The purpose of this planet is to lead us to the one who is the creator. And we'll pick that up next week.